45 years in keeping Louisville weird, Electric Ladyland has been there for all your eccentricities. While they do offer the best smoking supplies out on the market today, there's a whole lot more to check out. From ashtrays and blacklight posters, to records, incense and burners, and items to stock your metaphysical supply. They're open from 10 to 10, 7 days a week. Located at 2325 Bardstown Road in Louisville, Kentucky, and at electricladyland420.com. Roll out. Hey, metalheads, you like tattoos? Of course you do. If you're in the Louisville, Kentucky area, come on over the bridge to Clarksville, Indiana, and get you some ink done at Ageless Art. If ink isn't your thing, they have a piercing studio as well. Visit agelessartclarksville.com to see some frequently asked questions, meet the staff. The shop is open Monday through Thursday, 12 to 8 p.m., Saturdays, 12 to 10 p.m., and Sundays, 12 to 6 p.m., all appointment-only spots. You can set up your appointments by phone at 812-283-1793 or email agelessarttattooandpiercing@gmail.com and someone will get you set up for your first or your next tattoo or piercing. Hey, metalheads. After going to a rager, what's your ultimate go-to? Mine is Totally Pizza. So when Overload is playing, or I'm promoting the Metal Forge live showcases, or the big goddamn metal show, I go to Pizza Donisi. Pizza Donisi is gourmet artisan pizza from right here in Louisville, Kentucky. It features things like the pizza of the month, the sandwiches, and also vegetarian and vegan options, which is so totally fucking cool for all of it's awesome pizza. You definitely want to go. Hey, and also from time to time they do cannolis. Oh, so fucking good. You know what they said, man? Leave the gun, take the cannoli. Yeah. Just like that in Godfather. They're located right next to the Mag Bar at 1396 South 2nd Street. So either stop in or call in at 502-213-0488. They're open till midnight. The witching hour.
Heineken! Fuck that shit! Pabst Blue Ribbon!
Hey metalheads, you all hear me talk about Mag Bar all the time. It is the home to the Metal Forge Live showcases and is an integral stop in the ultimate underground metal tour schedule. They obviously feature live music, but the Mag Bar also has daily specials like Pint and Slice Night on Tuesdays with Pizza Donisi. But they also do Bring Your Own Vinyl on Thursdays with DJ Kent Jackson. And finer things Sundays. Located right next to Pizza Donisi at 1398 South 2nd Street. Open 3 p.m. to 4 a.m. 7 days a week. Get your asses out to the Mag Bar. Rock out.
In a broken wasteland, I come to my fire. I place your blood and steel upon my pyre. Oh, this is the Metal Forge. 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 Metal Forge. My furnace starts to glow with crimson coal.
What's going on, metalheads? Thank you all for tuning in to this week's episode of the Metal Forge. My name is Mark Jackson, and I am your host. And this is awesome because it is April 26th as of the day this episode is being released. I am promoting a fucking Indiana, New York, and Kentucky death metal show at the Mag Bar tonight for the birthday. And this week we have Maruzio Iacona from Cataclysm here in the Metal Forge. And what an awesome fucking day it's going to be. Dude, and Jason Gardner from the Heavy Metal Wasteland is here. Jason, hello.
Hello.
Dude, how are you, man? How's things?
I'm good. As of recording this, I went to Charlotte last night, caught the new Blind Guardian tour with Night Demon.
Dude, yes, I am so excited to hear about that. But before we get into all of that stuff, man, I mean, I've just really been, like, jonesing for a good show to hang out. Like, last month, you know, I did do the Metal Forge Live at Art Sanctuary, and that shit was really fun. And granted, there was, like, 400 other shows going on that night in town.
Yeah.
Which, that's ultimately the thing that we all have to, you know, think about when booking shows. But tonight's show, I'm really hoping is awesome. It's going to be at Mag Bar. It's all ages, actually, which, you know, in a bar in these day and age, since November, I've really been wanting to do more all ages shows because of playing with Belushi Speedball. And I think that's the ultimate thing where a lot of musicians get disillusioned with the quote, the scene, is because, well, you know, when you're in your 30s and 40s, your friends are too. And yes, whether or not, like, I don't have kids, but you've got two kids and a stepson. And, you know, so that takes up a lot of your time. I mean, honestly, when coming into, like, football season and stuff, not only are you having to do a lot of shit still, like winterizing people's homes and stuff like that because of your job, you're also, you know, you've got all the kids stuff to do too. And then getting darker earlier and all that shit, and now lighter later kind of shit.
Well, luckily on the birthday stuff, my kids are all in February and Corey's in August. So it doesn't really interfere with football season. Fuck you, me. So I got that going for me. But yeah, it's still a lot. One's gonna be starting school soon, so now it's like,
now you're gonna have the sports.
I gotta get up early again in the mornings. I've been enjoying not sleeping in for many years now.
Wait until your kids are fucking 12 and 13 and you're fucking taking them to fucking baseball practice and football practice if there's a football team there at the school.
I have a feeling they'll probably follow my footsteps. I was never into, like, after-school activities. I might just go start a band. The band practice would be right there at the barn.
Right.
Close. Always home. You're always near home. So,
you know, that's something that I do want to ask about that. You know, with having children, do you hope that one of them or both of them become musicians?
I mean, yeah, maybe not being a drummer because it's a lot of work. Maybe a singer. They know it was good for them. But I don't know, man. Like, my kids both play with my keyboard over here a lot when they come down here. They play on my drums, my electric drums. So they have an interest in it. But like I said, it takes a lot of discipline. So we'll just see what happens.
Sure.
A lot of people tell me when they play guitar, they pick it up at like 7. They learn like one riff. They get frustrated. They put it down. And then when they hit like 13 or 14, it just seems like they... seems like that's when the, like, switch in the brain clicks to, like, go a little farther.
Well, sure. And honestly, I think that, too, we're, like, when I was introduced to, like, an actual instrument being in the house, I was probably 9 or 10. And, of course, you know, I didn't really learn anything on it. It was my mom's acoustic guitar. And, you know, but that was, it was there. And yeah, we weren't supposed to play with it or anything because it wasn't a toy, but you know, but we still did and shit like that. And honestly, where she never learned how to play guitar, I'm glad that I did.
Yeah,
from it. So
I mean, Audrey has a couple vinyl records too. So I mean, so yeah, I mean, I'm trying to introduce music to them, you know, one way or another.
Sure, man. That's awesome. Yeah. So let's go ahead and talk about the elephant in the room, as it were. Fucking Blind Guardian and Night Demon in Charlotte.
Hell yeah, dude. So this is the first show I've been to out of town in probably like 3 years that I haven't played. So it's been a while since I've ventured out of Asheville to go watch a show. It's not easy. And Charlotte for me is about 220, 230 crowded, if it's crowded on 85. But I went and man, it was pretty hopping last night. There was a lot of shit going on in that one part of town. Because I said, I was like, I got there and it was like a bunch of women that really didn't look like they were Blind Guardian fans. Say it was all mini skirts and really overwhelming perfume all over the place. And I can't stand strong smells like that. So I was like gagging all the time inside on the perfume smell. It was apparently some rapper was playing the big venue, which is next to the underground where I went to see Blind Guardian. So it was very strange. It was like all the white employees were at the black music event. All the black employees were working the white music event. It was very segregated. Like when you saw someone, you knew who they were going to see. I mean, it's like Iron Maiden Cataclysm shirts versus like, you know, mini skirts and Tupac t-shirts and stuff like that.
Sure.
But yeah, trying to figure out, I had to get my, so I got comped a ticket on the guest list. Got my physical proof right here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to that
gentleman. Notice on there it says zero on it. So yeah, I was like, hell yeah, this is awesome. By being in a band finally paid off. I got a free $50 ticket. So after I figured out what I was doing, because I had never been in that the small venue before, just a big one. There's a box office apparently, and it's for like four venues down there, which I didn't even know. I didn't know there was more than two. Yeah, Live Nation owns like this whole street. It's a big complex of different venues and restaurants and stuff. So after I figured that out, I went back through security, got in, and then Night Demon played about 10 minutes after I got in. Went and got an overpriced beer, $13.75 for a 24-ounce PBR, which I thought was highway robbery. But
that's not a thought. That is highway robbery.
Yeah. For a PBR, I was like, Jesus Christ, man, really? This should be like $8. You're making like 200% profit.
Yeah.
I mean, you take the good with the bad, the free ticket, but the beer wasn't, you know. So it is what it is. But yeah, as far as the show goes, Night Demon pretty much did what I expected them to. First song was a little shitty on the mix. It was mostly vocals and drums until about song two, which was...
That seems to be a thing.
Yeah, honestly. It was the third song on Outsider, so they played half of Outsider. And then, after they got done, I waited about 25 minutes, met up a couple people I knew down there, and Blind Guardian came on. And, dude, they played a long time, man. I think it's been like 9 years since they've been in the U.S., 9 or 10 years since they played in the U.S. So they definitely made up for it because, man, that set was fucking long.
Yeah.
And they didn't really play that many songs because all their songs are like 8 or 9 minutes.
Sure.
So, yeah, they played a long time, like 4 encore songs. But it was good, man. I enjoyed it. Like, it's cool watching people from other countries come over and play. And, you know, just how it's so different for them than where they're at, you know.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, that's one of the other things, too. Like, you know, Night Demon did a tour in the U.S. last year. And this is their U.S. tour this year. But primarily, they've been a European touring band for the most part.
Same
thing
much.
With, like High Spirits.
I caught up with them after the show. After like Blind Guardian's about done, I went over to where the merch was and I met Brutal Brian for the first time.
Hell
and
yeah.
Armand was over there. And then Jarvis came over later. And dude, I hung out with them for like an hour after the show was over, just like shooting shit. And Jarvis was introducing me as the drummer of Temptations Wings, which I couldn't fucking believe he remembered the fucking band name.
Hey, dude, he's awesome.
It was cool. No, it was really fucking cool, dude. Like, I was like really like, I was really like, I felt like I was part of the team, even though, you know, I don't have to like ride to Atlanta today or get no sleep or nothing like that. But the way that people came up and like was buying shit, I'm talking like whole discographies at one time. getting them signed, getting the pictures taken and stuff. Dude, I'm going to say it now. After this tour, Night Demon will be a pretty decent sized club headliner, if not opener for like some arena bands.
Sure. I think so, too, honestly, because honestly, they deserve it for one. And, you know, there was some really cool shows that weekend because up in Indy, Jason Roach from Ice Howl went to see Glyph, Elven King, and Aelstorm. And, you know, that this is like Elven King's like first time in the U.S. also.
Yeah. Alumni of the Metal Forge, too. Let's not forget.
What's that?
The alumni.
Oh, yeah. Alumni for the Metal Forge. Yeah, absolutely. Both Ice Howl, Temptations Wings, and Elven King.
Night Demon as well, yeah.
Night Demon. And honestly, I'm going to go ahead and break that news right now. Coming up next month at the end of May, we are going to have 90 minutes with Jarvis Leatherby.
It wasn't even enough, dude. I caught up. So I was telling you last night, I caught up on some of the stuff we talked about after the interview was over.
Sure.
It sounds like big things are coming for them next
Hashtag year. Band announcement. Hashtag big things coming.
Big things coming, yeah.
Dude, and that's awesome. And they're such great people all around. I got the chance to meet Brian, not in person, but on the Metal Forge before Night Demon, I believe, with Midnight Spell, his other band at the time. And that's when I had found out that like he had drummed. He's the live drummer for Yngwie, and he also plays drums with Nico and Titanium Tart.
Nice. And yeah, I actually asked him about that Yngwie tour they played in Black Mountain, which is basically Asheville but east. It's an outdoor venue.
Sure.
He remembered it. He remembered the show. I wasn't there, but I asked him how it was because, like, you know, I was like, how do I explain to this guy like where exactly I come from so he knows the kind of relation, you know,
sure,
where I'm talking about. And he remembered because he said there was a dude in a Tigers of Pan Tang shirt in front row, and he was like, damn, he's like, that's pretty niche. And this like place out in the middle of nowhere, like this dude wearing a Tigers of Pan Tang shirt. He was like, that was pretty badass. So, yeah, he remembered that show just from that one guy wearing the Tigers shirt.
Dude.
So, dude, if you're listening, if the Tigers dude is listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brutal Brian remembers you, man.
So, yeah. If that dude is listening, then totally hit us up at metalforgeradio@gmail.com.
Yeah, and give us a Yngwie show.
Yeah, and I will totally send you a Metal Forge shirt as well. If this is you and you can prove it, like, that it's you that we're talking about, fuck yes, you are totally game.
Hey, can I give you a preview of my next unsleeved here real quick?
Sure.
So, there, you know that meme, like, if I win the lottery, I wouldn't tell anybody, but there will be signs?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is one of the signs, for sure, obviously.
Oh, hell yes.
But no, this is the front isn't even the best part. This back of the shirt fucking sold me. I might have paid $60 for the shirt. Look at this date layout.
Holy shit, that is amazing.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Dude, this shirt, it might be my favorite tour shirt I ever bought just from the date layout. That date layout is so fucking unique.
Dude, that is awesome.
I couldn't believe when I saw it. I was like, dude, I was like, I hope you have 2X. If you don't, I'll take 2X. He's like, no, we got 2. I was like, hook me up.
Yeah, that's so my thing. Is I like bigger shirts on me because not only am I a bigger guy, but I actually like baggier shirts.
Yeah, I fluctuate a lot, so I'm always being 2 and 3X. So 2 is usually my safe spot.
Sure.
But sometimes, you know, if I eat a big meal, 3X is nice too.
Hell yeah.
Just because the ham rises up a little bit.
Hell so. Yeah. Jason, do you have anything you want to promote coming up?
Yes, new TW show announcement. The venue in Black Mountain that I was talking about Yngwie played a couple years ago. We're playing there on the 24th of May for a benefit show for a guy who was injured. He's now paralyzed, so we're doing the band he's in is doing some shows to help him out. And he's actually still playing in the band. He just plays in his wheelchair, which is cool.
Wow. See,
guitar, dude, obviously. Yeah.
That's awesome. I had a friend who was in a wheelchair and played guitar in a band. Super rad guy, and obviously friend of the Metal Forge as well, Jeff Becerra from Possessed, you know, as well. Wheelchair metalhead. fucking awesome shit.
Yeah, and then we have another show that I can't announce yet, but the dates are either August 1st, 2nd, 3rd, or 4th. We don't know for sure yet, but it's something here in Asheville.
Sure.
So if you're in town, look out for details on that. You can probably just figure it out from the dates, what it is, and look it up yourself. But I can't say yet the name because they told me not to. So there you go.
Fuck yeah, man. Awesome. Well, we're going to go ahead and listen to some Cataclysm here. This is off the newest album, Goliath. This is Gravestones and Coffins. Metalheads, I am being joined, and this is such a fucking treat for me, for a birthday fucking gift, as for me, with Maurizio from Cataclysm. Dude.
What's up?
Dude, yeah. What is going on, man?
Just you know, just getting ready for this tour. As you know, we're trekking out there in next week, so it's a really good package. And, you know, a couple of little cool death metal brothers getting together and doing our thing. You know, so it's gonna be real cool, man. You know, we just came back from Europe. We had a very, very big tour there. That, you know, we did a headliner out there with Flesh God Apocalypse was on there, and Stillbirth. It was a really good package, and so that was also really cool. So we're blessed right now, man. Things are doing well, and we're happy to be doing what we love, you know.
Definitely. And the tour you're talking about, and as we're recording this is before the tour starts, but it's going to be released about midway through. So the Septic Flesh and Decapitated and Cataclysm tour. Yes. Holy shit. And you all are actually, by the time we're recording this, should be in Wilmington, Delaware. But you're about a week away from the Louisville date, which I definitely am going to. So,
okay, cool.
So that's even fucking cool. So as it is with touring and everything, how do you dig it? I mean, is it a thing you like to do?
I've been doing this since I was 19 years old. I'm in my, you know, late 40s right now. So it's been a long time. So, I mean, for us, it's always, you know, if I didn't like it, I wouldn't be doing it this long, right? So I do enjoy it. And I love to see the fans when I go out there, because I get to really experience how they feel about the music I play, right? So it's you know, this is a really strong record we released, and this has done very well for us. People are connecting on it, and you know, it's a record that's you know, really on real, it's on real time. You know, it's called Goliath, and we're right in the middle of it right now, and sure, it's crazy times, and the record just connects really, really well with the fans and the message behind it. And so I think you know, going on tour, it kind of, you know, puts everything in perspective, and it just puts everything together, and it's the final touch after you put a record out, you know.
Yeah, is getting to see the reaction to the faces in the crowd, you know, because
right.
That's what it's about. I mean, I'm a musician, I know what that's like. I mean, I'm not doing like fucking what's the fucking big festival over? Not walking.
Hellfest and.
No, you all. There's a video of you all on YouTube with it. Oh my god, it's
Summer Breeze.
Yeah, that's it. Summer Breeze.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like, I'm not playing those shows, but fuck. okay, so Goliath, 15th album in. You originally started in Cataclysm as the bass and backing vocals.
Yep.
You switched to main vocal around the 98 era, and then you've been doing main vocals ever since. When you made that transition, did you still write music for the band, or did you leave that to the guitar and bass player at the time?
No, I did. I did still play. Still wrote. I wrote on the last record. So I you know, I still write music. I don't play as much as I used to. You know, I used to be, you know, do a lot of writing with the, you know, a lot of bass parts and a lot of stuff like that. But now I'm kind of structuring songs with JF, my guitar player. Me and him, we're kind of like put our brains together and come up with a lot of the music on the band. And but the transition was not easy, because I mean, you know, when you're holding a bass and then you're holding a mic, it's not the same thing.
Sure.
And so it's like you have to you know, also be the person that has to focus on the crowd, and that also takes a skill that you have to master. It takes a long time for that to happen. You know what I mean? If you don't conquer the crowd, they're going to conquer you, man. Believe me.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's a tough, it's not an easy thing. And, but I think that I've honed in on it pretty good now. And I'm very happy with the way people respond. And I feel like I'm at the show and that we're in somebody's backyard. That's the way I see it. I don't care if I'm in front of 10,000 people, then I'm in the back of somebody's mansion if I'm doing that. That's the way I see it. I'm not playing a show in a regular venue in my head. I'm in somebody's house, and the people are out there in the backyard, and we're having a good time. So I have a different mentality how I approach it, you know. So that's why I crack jokes sometimes, and I do all kinds of different things, and that's why, you know, it's because I make myself comfortable in it, you know.
For sure. Dude, that's actually an amazing outlook to have for that. And props to that. That's badass. Cool. So when you
that's why, like, for example, I play, you know, it's no, it doesn't diff, like it doesn't make a difference for me if I'm playing a 200 cap room, there's 150 kids in there or people and whatever, and or 10,000, you know. It's like, we're gonna do the same show. It's gonna be, sometimes I prefer the smaller clubs. Oh, just yeah. Because it's more intimate, and you know, it's a sweat box. I don't care, you know, it's cool. You know, so it's just, it reminds me of when I started a lot, and that's a feeling that I you know, when you first go on a stage, and you know this as well, mm-hmm. The feeling of that, right?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Especially when it's the beginning, and that nervousness with a little bit of like, and then the show's over, and this was a good show, I did good, and you, that satisfaction. I remember those days in small clubs, right?
Oh, so for
that's
sure. Yeah.
So going back to that, and I'm comfortable in it, you know. So that's the thing.
So. By that rationale, do you think at this point in your career you've had the best of both worlds, where you can go and play a Summer Breeze, a Walk, and a Hellfest, louder the Wimmer production major fucking festivals out there, but yet you can still go and play like 500 and 800 and 1,000 cap rooms and still be in between the two of them?
And I think that's what makes it interesting. Right, you're capable of moving around like that on both ends of the spectrum, and I think that's what makes it cool, you know. So, you know, you could do the rock star thing in front of like 10,000 people, and then you can go in a little underground bar, and you know, you play the same set, and people are throwing chairs and tables everywhere, and that's cool.
That's not the rage, so, man. That's all the rage, you know what I mean? Right?
You know, that's where we come from. You know, like I was a big Pantera fan when they first came out, because when they came out, it was a big middle finger to the world, you know.
Sure.
It was just break everything, you know. I remember Cowboys from Hell coming out on MTV, and I'm watching that, and I was like, holy shit, you know. And like, this just changed everything, meaning that, you know, those rebels that were like, just fuck everything, right?
Because sure.
Like they killed the grunge, you know.
Right.
Grunge killed the hard rock, like hair bands, but then Pantera killed the grunge, like,
sure,
it was just
did.
Like, and we're back, you know, drinking and having a good time and just, you know, all kinds of stuff. And that was the times I grew up on that I loved,
for sure,
you know. Like, that's the metal sign, that scene that I liked a lot, you know. So
in back in the day when you all were first together in the early to mid 90s, when you were doing shows locally, regionally, nationally, and with it being a different era, a massively different era, with from internet and cell phones now to fucking house lines and mail.
Right.
How do you deal with the difference now?
Well, you know, when I first started, the fax machine was the internet, right?
So sure.
I would see the fax like ringing, and then a beep 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 beep, nuclear blasts is sending me a letter. And when we would fight, instead of sending an email, it'd be like, I would be like, go fuck yourself, and it'd be like, go fuck yours. Slowly. And then you would be like, you too, you know, the Germans would send it back to me, and I'd be like, so those were the days where, you know, this didn't exist. Like, nothing was fast. Like, you would wait for Metal Maniacs to come out, or Metal Hammer, a magazine, and that's the only time, you know, that they talk about your band. You have a little thing about your band, and you'd be like, holy shit, I made it, you know. I have a paragraph, you know. It's like,
sure,
you know. Or they review your record, and you'd be waiting just for that to come out. So it was a different time where patience was very important. So now we don't have that no more, right? So now there's no more stores where people can gather and buy records, talk about the records. So this is all online now. So we've digitalized everything. It's a different game. There's plus to it, in the sense that I think it's bringing more people into the scene, because it's easier and it's more accessible. So people are capable of just finding the music quicker and interacting quicker with the bands and everything. So there's a positive to that, but it's also killing a little bit of the mysticism of the bands. You know, you knew a band that was from, let's say, I don't know, the UK, and that band was over there and they looked mysterious. You didn't know anything about them. Only when you read the magazines, you looked at them in the pictures, and then you'd see them live, you'd be like, oh fuck, you know. Now,
right.
You know what,
like,
you know,
Venom.
Now you know, like, everything they're doing at every second of the day, and it's just a different world, right? So we've lost a little bit of that mysticism, But sure, we've gained more people in the industry, which is helping things move around too, you know.
Definitely. And do you think with like being completely plugged in, like everybody is today, where you say losing that mysticism, people say like Venom, bands who had that dark mystique, and now you see every fucking Instagram post of like cats or what the hell ever it is. And it ultimately takes away, like, you know, ultimately I'm glad King Diamond, I guess, doesn't have a Facebook page other than for the music. Because I could only imagine the shit that he would post about.
I don't know. There's a lot of people that, like, I know a lot of the guys, man, and all these bands, man. And then it's like some of the posts I see, I'm not mentioning names, I see that and I'm like cringe, you know what I mean? But that's just the way it is. And some people... You know, some people are in it to do what they want to do. They have a mission. They're messengers, you know, and as you know, vocalists and stuff. I consider myself one of those. And at the same time, I like to have a good time. I take what I do seriously. To me, it's not a joke. Like, I think it's, sure, you know, I have a strong, positive message. But when I'm on that stage and I'm cracking a beer with my fans or friends that are at the show, then I'm also not taking it that seriously. I'm like just here enjoying my time, listening to some metal and having a good time, right? So I have those two things in me, but some bands are do it just because they want the clicks, they want the algorithms, they want the attention, and so you have a different level of how you perceive it, right? So to me it's like that. I see stuff, I cringe, and sometimes I laugh. It depends.
Sure, and I think that's even.
I'm sure a lot of fans are like the same way. So
yeah, and I'm sure that's with anybody that, like, you know, in your peer group or in your scene, as it were, you know, and you know, just seeing like what. Did you see what so-and-so, did you see this? That's weird.
Yeah.
I mean, we all do that.
Some of them get away with murder and they get away with it so good that it's like, okay, man, I mean, I got to say that it's better. Like, you know, ABBA, when he fell down the metal slit, there's in Slovenia, he fell down the hill and he was rolling down with his makeup and everything. And I was just like, dude, that's too perfect, right?
So sure, was like, sure.
So you know, for him, it works, right? So it depends who you are, how you do it.
Well, yeah, and I actually wanted to you brought up a very interesting point in the last conversation piece there, and I do want to ask you about it. Is you said you felt like you delivered a message, or you were there to deliver a message, and that is so awesome. And me being a bass and vocalist myself, I 100% see that. And whether it be, you know, we all do our own things where we code our lyrics somehow. Sometimes they're just straight the fuck out and in your face.
Right.
So over the last, you know, 30 plus years now as Cataclysm, how do you continue to find new messages and more things you want to say?
I just look outside, man, and then, you know, what I'm seeing around the world, it's weird, and there's a lot of craps going on. And, you know, I look at the beginning, I think I was more focused on my personal experiences, so I put a lot of that in there, and I'm still doing that. But I'm also kind of on this latest record called Goliath. I think it says everything of what's going on, you know.
Sure.
We are, in my opinion, living a David versus Goliath moment, you know. It's a system that I find is choking us down and keeping us down. And I think that, you know, we have to stand shoulder to shoulder. And then sometimes, you know, it's worth acknowledging that, you know, freedom can be taken away quickly. And, you know, and it's something that, to me, I live for. I fight for it. And I'm going to do it through my music. And I'm going to tell people, you know, to remember that you were here together doing what we love because we were free. Some countries you can't do it. You know what I mean? And it's like, and I've been all over the world, every country you can imagine. I've almost been there. So I can tell you that, you know, I've seen how no other places like here. And we need to protect that. You know what I mean? And it's like, some things just don't make no sense. And I shouldn't say yes just because it's trendy, you know? So we live, you know, I'm on a tour right now that's called Cancer Culture. And I think that's a perfect line. You know, sure, for everything, you know. So decapitated went through some bullshit, and you know, they came back, and now, you know, we're all together standing shoulder to shoulder on, you know, bring a good message out there, man. And that's, I think that's important.
No, I absolutely agree with you on that. And that is what it is about, you know, is sending that message of saying, hey, you know, shit is fucked up. Don't fucking look past it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, you know, every time I tell people, you know, that's one of the things I say on stage. It's like every time I open the TV, I feel I see bullshit. And you know, you open your phone, it's bullshit. But the only place I feel like it's normal is when I'm at a concert and I'm with the fans. And we're back to like just doing this for the right reasons, enjoying ourselves, having a good time and talking about the things that matter and helping each other out. And I think that's how it should be, you know. So there's a lot of propaganda out there. There's a lot of bullshit. But it's important not to get, you know, eaten up by it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. Yeah, because you've got to really, really have a thick skin these days with that stuff. Because
that, and then you shouldn't be afraid. You shouldn't be afraid because a lot of people lost a lot for us to be where we are, you know, and they're not remembered the right way. And at the same time, it's like, you know, they did that for nothing.
Right.
We shouldn't forget that. It's important, you know, and it's not about, I think to me, you know, everybody needs to have their voices heard, whether you like or not what they say. It's freedom of speech. And I'm very, very big, adamant supporter of that. And, you know, that's, you won't be able to do podcasts if you didn't have the freedom. To
exactly.
Do that.
No, you're so absolutely
that's
right.
It's very important. Protect it. And as a lyricist, as a vocalist, my thoughts, I want to put them out there. And if you connect with them, cool. If you don't, you don't have to listen to it or read it. But I respect that. And I want to have the same type of respect. I don't want to be labeled nothing. I don't want to be like, you know, so I think that's my thing. You know, Goliath to me is this entire weird monster that's been created out of all these corporations and all these people that think that we should be exactly how they see it, the world. And maybe I don't feel comfortable in that, you know, maybe I like to be just me and how I live and that's it, you know,
sure.
Like I shouldn't. Because it starts like that, and then one day they start banning the metal. They start banning, like back in the 80s, remember Twisted Sister, Dee Snider was out there, you know, fighting for the rights of musicians and all that stuff because his lyrics were getting banned. And
everybody, you know, goes to him first. Oh,
you know what I'm saying? So that all that stuff's coming back now. So we have to kind of stand together, you know.
No, I agree 100% with you. But everybody goes to Dee Snider first. And it's like, but like, you know, the first person I think of doing that is Frank Zappa.
Frank Zappa, for sure.
Yeah. And
I mean, I'm talking like the guy that was more metal, you know, it was
sure.
But you're right. It was Frank Zappa. This was a long time ago.
Yeah. You know, and John Denver, even. And John fucking Denver, of all people, was speaking out against it.
Yeah.
And how metal is he for doing it? You know, that's awesome. So as we were talking, Cancer Culture Over North America 2024, a 30-date tour started 4/16, goes to May 19th. Pretty much every fucking where. You are actually coming to Louisville, which I am, out of the email I got from Nuclear with their like 20 tours listed, like three tours had Louisville on the fucking date. And I was like, God, why does everybody, it's fucking, cause we're 2 hours from everywhere. That's why.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I get it. I know why.
But we'll be there.
Sure. And if you're in the Louisville area today, go to, shit. When you're in Louisville, fucking, it's headliners. I had something going there, and then I completely fucking derailed. Which is the next segment of this show is called Derailed. And I know you've got a limited amount of time, so we'll kind of rapid fire some questions here.
All right, sure.
What's your favorite piece of merch you've ever released?
My favorite piece of merch I've ever released.
Because immediately, you know, you're going to say this and people are going to want to go look for it.
Well, they're going to have a hard time finding it. I think I have maybe some on my web store left, but I like a new one that we released not long ago. I think it was on the last record, and it's a Reaper that's holding two shotguns, and it says in the back, it says, "I came to kill your heroes." And I thought that was really cool. And we have a shirt that we're bringing back on this tour called Crippled and Broken, which is a thing we did for, you know, to remember the veterans and stuff like that. So a long time ago on the Devastation record, which is getting re-released this year. So it's those were two shirts that I think like merch that I really thought were really cool.
Awesome. You
know, designs wise.
Awesome. What's your favorite Cataclysm bootleg merch?
Bootleg merch. Cataclysm condoms I saw in Mexico. It was written only for the diehards in the back, and I don't know if
wouldn't
it's a
good
thing.
Wouldn't it be like be something like cliticism at that point?
Like, I don't know, man. I didn't use it, let's put it that way. I didn't trust them.
They probably had holes in them.
Yeah.
Like the Kiss ones did, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they got merch. Yeah.
What is the most meaningful thing that you've had said to you from a peer in the music scene?
From a peer or a fan?
You could do a fan.
Well, I wrote a song called Manipulator of Souls a long time ago in 2001 on a record called Epic. And this guy, you know, came to our show, looked really like a clean cut boy, normal, everything. And he was at the show and he was just started kind of crying when he saw me. And he was like, "Dude, you saved my life on this song," because the lyrics of that song, you know, help him kick the habit of heroin. So, you know, because the song is about something that manipulates you. And he saw himself there, and he took that as a song that he said he listened to it something like 150 times in a row. So, and then he just kept listening to it, and then it helped him get through his problems. And I think, again, that's what a messenger does, right? So I feel I'm connected like that with a lot of my fans, because my lyrics are real time, and it might mean something different to me, but to you it might mean something also that's also different, and it attaches to you a certain way. I think that's what the power of music is, right? So that was a moment that for me I'll never forget. You know, that's when I knew that it's reaching out and it's doing something to people, you know.
That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. And hell yeah. What is your favorite phrase that you have ever written in a song?
What's the favorite phrase that I've ever written? I gotta tell this guy to stop texting me here. All right. What's the favorite phrase? Well, I think it's just a song that I wrote. I mean, I have a lot of favorite phrases. I would have to really think about it right now. Where can I go with it? It's probably on the the song. It would have to be the whole lyrics of the Black Sheep.
Okay.
Because it's just not a phrase. Like, it's not enough. You would have to, like, because that song to me is representative of what Cataclysm is in this industry and what I was growing up. You know, and not only in society in general, even in my own family. Like, I was not, you know, I'm Italian. You can imagine the Italians, and I'm coming here, a big death metal dude. You know, it's like, you know, your mom is like, cut your hair, get a job, you know, like that usual thing. But I was always an outcast, right, in everything I've done. Also in the business of the music business and all that, I've created my own world. So that song, the lyrics about that track, and it's our biggest song on Spotify as well, I think that matters a lot, you know.
Sure.
So it's hard to just pin a phrase, but if you want to look at those lyrics and pick a phrase, they're all good to me on that song, you know.
Fuck yeah, man. Absolutely. I have one more question, but before we get to it, as always, links are listed below. Give likes, shares, and follows, as we were talking about the whole digital thing earlier. Support in any way you can. Go to the shows. Fucking, you know, put your face against the fucking speakers and fucking blast the fuck off, because that's where it really fucking counts, is seeing them live. And do you have anything else you would like to promote or give shout outs to today?
Well, I just want to, first of all, thank you for taking the time to do this interview with me. And I hope that, you know, you get like also all the support and respect you, you know, you deserve for what you do, because it's all, what matters is everybody doing the contributing, right? The strength in numbers. Sure. It's not just me or you, it's everybody together doing everything we do. So I think to me, that's very important. So, you know, I just want the fans to understand that what we do, we're by the people and for the people. And when we go to concerts, we're together, and the energy that's there needs to stay positive and good. And I think that that's what's going to make things better and everywhere, you know, because you're going to leave that concert happy. And I think that's what's important. You know what I mean? Like, that's too much negativity out there. So my thing is just stay true to yourself. And, you know, to support metal still, because to me, that's the last beacon, right?
Yeah, it really is. And that support everything. And I mean, you know, you see fucking people like James Hetfield come, throw his arms out and we are one big metal family type thing, right? And I say stuff like that, stoner, doom, thrash, speed, whatever. We're all a big fucking metal family, and we've got to stick together. Absolutely. Thank you so much for coming into the Metal Forge. I appreciate you so fucking much. I will see you in a couple of weeks here in Louisville.
Okay.
My final question of the day is, do you feel that there is a more advanced species than humans in the universe?
I believe there is. I don't think that we just, you know, woke up one day like this. I think we were probably messed with somehow. From something above somewhere. I think so.
You think we were we like the Stargate thing, maybe?
I don't know. Maybe I think there was some sort of manipulation, and I think this is all by design. I don't think that this is just a fluke that we're here, some explosion, and hey, how you doing? You know what I mean? It's too perfect in that sense, you know. We're too well designed for this to be just the way it is, and then coming from an ape or something like that. I think there is a beginning of that. You know, it's coming from there, but there's something more to us. You know, we're always looking up to the sky, like we want to go there. Why? You know.
Sure.
So. It's not like we're just, I'm content where I'm at. I love Earth. I'm good. You know, I'm more nature oriented and I love the planet. But I think we keep looking up and we keep wanting to push and go somewhere else. And I think that's because we might have a little bit of some weird stuff from a different planet in us. You know, I don't know.
Dude, I totally get that. I based an EP of ours, Tales from Twin Earth. And it's basically a concept where it's like an exact mirror opposite of everything. Everything is going on the exact same way as it is right now for us. But one thing is different. The molecule of water.
Okay.
And so would you, but the whole concept is what would they call it? Because if it's water here, it couldn't be it's not the same thing.
Right. And there's also the concept of, like, you know, I think the Bible and all that stuff tells the truth about not only the Bible, but for example, all the scriptures, all going from the Sumerian times, they're all the same. Even the Quran and all that stuff, all it does is tell a story that's dissimilar. They came from somewhere else here and, you know, changed life. They brought fire to the earth. And then as soon as we had fire, we were capable of doing things, right? Mm-hmm. And then now technologies, you know, you have to understand, like, if you look at the entire evolution of Earth, you know, we went from, throwing stones and sticks to, like, flying airplanes in spaceships
sure.
to the atmosphere and having nuclear bombs and stuff. And now we're building robots. Right, we're trying to almost extinct ourselves or change ourselves, you know, to hybrid something, you know.
Well, and
so, you know, when you think about it like that, is this the normal evolution of where we're supposed to go? I don't know, you know.
Yeah. Or is it just freaking the science experiment gone awry? And that's
what did it take? Yeah, but what did it take? Like, I don't know.
I mean,
5,000 years of nothing, and then the last 30 years is like, boom.
You know, right. Like, oh, for sure. That's exactly right. I mean, now and in some, like, especially in music, because we regress that technology too, because now we're going back to fucking cassette tapes.
Yes, yeah, because we miss it, you know. And there's, you know, the vinyls, man. The vinyls are back, it's stronger than ever, and people are collecting them, and that's, you know, I'm okay with that, you know what I mean. I love to have a physical aspect of something, you know. My biggest fear is we go completely digital on absolutely everything, and then it's like, you know, on a push of a button you can erase everything, and sure, you're gone. Where's your history then?
Exactly.
If there's no books and there's no nothing, you know, it's a bit scary, you know, when you think about it.
Oh, it definitely is. Yeah. We could talk about this all night, and I know you've got some other...
I know exactly how you feel, man, but you know what? I'm happy about living my life the way I've lived it, and that being born when I was born in the 70s, and, you know, coming all the way up here, I'm happy. You know, I think I've experienced life the right way, you know what I mean? Like I said, fax machine was my internet when I was in the music business.
Beginning. You said that earlier, and it made me think, and I didn't say it then, but it made me think of it. Is Almost Famous, the movie.
And they're
on the phone with young Cameron Crowe, and they're like, you've got to try this new, and this is like 1974 or five, right? And he's like, you got to try this new technology. It's called a fax. It takes 18 minutes a page. And I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Maurizio, thank you so much for coming on to the Metal Forge this week. This has been fucking...
I'll get to see you soon, man.
Sure. We'll see each other at Headliners here in Louisville on our way out today from Goliath. What do you want to play?
From the Goliath record?
Sure.
Let's play Combustion.
Oh, hell yeah. Here we go. Dude, thank you so much. This is From Cataclysm. This is Combustion.
in 2017. One man's vision and passion for all things metal started out as a record store in his house. Years later, the fight against a mainstream empire continues as Shade Beast. An independent metal collective and online store based in Athens, Georgia, is the world's premier heavy metal brand for music heads that value authenticity over the mainstream acceptance. Featuring original t-shirts from some of the best underground artists, as well as stickers, posters from the Shade Beast Presents concert series. Unique, one-of-a-kind collectibles and small curated selection of vinyl and cassettes from the masters old and new. Visit ShadeBeast.com and enter promo code SITHLORD for free domestic shipping on your first order, whether you're a new customer or returning. And be sure to join the Shade Beast social groups on Facebook and the interwebs to keep up with the new release announcements and talk all things metal and Star Wars. You'll never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to the night. You think you know Night Demon? Then the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast is for you. Step into the darkness as we peel back the curtain to give you an unprecedented, all-access look into the mind and the heart of the demon. We're talking band history, song analysis, studio anecdotes, stories from the road. It's everything a diehard Night Demon fan could want and more. This is the only place to learn the inside scoop, the deep dive trivia, the untold tales from the band members themselves and those closest to the Night Demon story. Need more? The sacred Night Demon crypt will be pried open to reveal demo recordings that have never before seen the light of day, all with in-depth commentary by the band and the people who were there for the writing and recording process. This is a gold mine, a treasure trove of all things Night Demon. Head over to nightdemon.net. or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Since 2013, there has been a calling from the underground, from the graves of all those unholy, and they decided to make a zine to talk about all of this. Soul Grinder Zine, an independent metal zine to keep you informed on all things metal and horror from the underground. Available in both print and digital formats, they're bringing you the best interviews and reviews out there today. Not only do they do the zine, but they also do compilation CDs. Check them out at facebook.com/soulgrinder.zine and start your subscription now. Hey everybody, let me tell you about the new sponsor to the Metal Forge, Unchained Tapes. They're an independent Pennsylvania tape label. They focus on extreme metal and punk with a killer approach to the tape scene. Visit their web store at unchainedtapes.bigcartel.com now to get your fill of tapes. And for being a Metal Forge listener, enter the code METALFORGE10 at checkout to get a 10% discount on your total purchase. That's unchainedtapes.bigcartel.com. BigCartel.com.
What's up, Metal Forge fans? This is Alan Bishop, the alchemist of Indiana's Black Forest and head distiller at Spirits of French Lick. Do you find yourself drawn to the unexplained, fascinated by the Fortean, or enchanted by the paranormal? If the things that go bump in the night resonate in your mind, then tune into my brand new podcast, If You Have Ghosts, You Have Everything. Featuring firsthand accounts, collected stories, interviews, history, and speculation related to all things not of this world. Available now on Anchor, Spotify, Google, Amazon, and more. Set back, relax, and remember, if you have ghosts, you have everything.
Hey, let me tell you guys about Mercenary Press. They're an independent London label and distributor of all things metal. Mercenary Press delivers the goods from their own independent zine. Trust me, you're going to want to get in on that. To distributing various bands from all over the world, including Cramp from Spain and Sadistic Force from Texas. Visit mercenarypress.bigcartel.com to find out what all they have in stock and what you can order. And for Metal Forge listeners, enter code MetalForge10 to receive a discount on your total purchase at mercenarypress.bigcartel.com. Check it out now.
Hey, Metalheads, it's with great pleasure I get to tell you guys about a new sponsor to the Metal Forge, Ageless Art, New Albany. After 20 years of owning and operating Ageless Art in Clarksville, Indiana, Phil Garrett had a vision for a new type of tattoo studio. Something that is clean and modern, sleek, refined, inviting. And he's done just that with Ageless Art in New Albany. You can find it at 2736 Charlestown Road, New Albany, Indiana, 47150. Business hours are Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Sundays are 12 to 6. All sessions are appointment only, so give them a call and go get you some new ink. Or if it's your first time, go get your first one, baby.